continuing our study of the Lord's Prayer, and we're coming now to the last request: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If you look in the back of your songbooks, page 896, Lord's Day 52, question and answer 127. We'll just look at 127. What does the sixth petition mean? It's really a great prayer, great biblical prayer. What does the sixth petition mean? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil means we are so weak that we cannot stand on our own for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong by the power of your Holy Spirit so that we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. There's our goal. Till finally we win the complete victory. We turn in our Bibles to Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is God's word, and may he bless it to our hearts and minds. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, remember the special order of priority in the Lord's Prayer. We're on the second set of petitions: prayer for daily bread, prayer for forgiveness, prayer for protection from the evil one, deliverance. But it starts with Heavenly Father, or Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those are the first three priorities of our lives that we're to offer to God in prayer. Our three greatest needs is to hallow God's name, lift his name up as holy in our lives, to submit to his authority and reign, his kingdom, and to obey his will without any backtalk. And in order to pursue those priorities, we need bread. We need physical strength. We need forgiveness to keep our relationships clean, our relationships with God and one another clean. We need forgiveness daily. And we need protection from the evil one so that we don't fall down, but we can continue to pursue the holiness of God's name and submission to God's reign and obedience to God's will. So we come to that last request. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is a plea for protection. We need help. The evil one is after us. We're incredibly weak. But through prayer, we take hold of someone incredibly strong, our Heavenly Father, who strengthens his weak and endangered children. And that's what we see this afternoon in the sixth petition. We are weak, but he is strong. Through prayer, our Heavenly Father strengthens his weak and endangered children. First, we want to see that we're under attack constantly. And therefore, secondly, we run to God for refuge, for strength. And thirdly, in him we're strong. We can stand firm in our faith and stand in the evil day, the day of trouble. So first then, in this petition, Heavenly Father, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We see that we're under attack, we're in trouble. This is not an accusation. Father, stop leading us into temptation. Stop it. It's not an accusation. It's a prayer. Lord, our world is a minefield of temptations, which are specifically designed and placed to destroy us. Father, don't allow us to step on those minefields. That's what it's saying here. Lead us not into temptation. Help us not to step onto those minefields, which will blow us up spiritually. But deliver us from the evil one. Take us through the minefield, around the mines, away from the mines. Deliver us from the evil one who sets these traps for us, the evil one. Now, in many editions of the Lord's Prayer, we read, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I think the best translation is the evil one, because there's a definite article in front of evil in the Greek. Deliver us from the evil. The evil what? The evil thing, the evil one. But the word from in the Greek is one that usually takes a person, is followed by a person as the object. So from the evil one is the best translation. From all evil, of course, but the evil one as the mastermind who's planting the minefields for you to destroy you. Deliver us from the evil one. Now this petition is an admission of two basic truths. First, we're under constant attack. And we take it to the Lord in prayer, secondly, because we're too weak to handle these attacks in our own strength. We need a divine strength to stand firm. And if you look at Ephesians 6 again, it describes in several ways the attacks we face. Verse 11, we stand against the schemes of the devil. Verse 12, we wrestle against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Verse 13, we must stand in the evil day. That is the day of crisis, whenever that comes. It can come at any time in our life. It could be tomorrow for you, the day after for me, but the day of crisis, the evil day. And verse 16 is a fourth way of describing the attacks we face, that we are to shield ourselves against all the flaming darts of the evil one. In this prayer, Jesus is saying to us, don't be naive, my disciples. Because as Christians, we can be so naive and so unaware of all the attacks the evil one is mounting on us every day. He's got so many schemes and so many tricks up his sleeve. Do you know that every morning when you get up, Satan has a whole program planned for you? He's got it all outlined. What are your weaknesses today? What's your mood? Here's how I'm going to go after you. He's got a program designed just for you personally. He knows your character, your background, your vulnerabilities, your fears, your worries, your weak points, just where to attack you, how to get you. He knows when you're feeling also self-confident and self-assured, because that's when we're most unprepared, when things are going smoothly. The finances are rolling in. The job promotions are coming through. The family is doing nicely. That's when we're most at risk. That's when we're most tempted not to pray and to think, I'm standing fine, I'm standing firm. But as long as we're not running to the Lord, we're not standing firm. We're naive about the attacks that we're facing today. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. You probably know these words, but I'm going to read them. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion. And you know that a lion roars after he's crouched and when he springs. The devil is not a jester. He's not a joker. He's not a trickster. He's a hater. He hates you. He makes war on your soul. He wants to destroy you. Has a plan for your destruction and many different ways to come at you. We're in mortal danger every day. We're under threat because we're so weak that we cannot stand on our own even for a moment, as the Catechism says so correctly. And so Peter says, be sober-minded, be watchful, be alert. Paul says in Colossians, be watchful in prayer. The most important way to watch, to be alert, is to pray. The Bible often connects alertness and prayer. Prayer is the first form of alertness to the dangers around us. When we pray not, we watch not. Prayerlessness is weakness. It's lack of awareness of the dangers around and within. It's not that the devil is our only threat or attacker. The Catechism speaks of our threefold enemy. Remember that? Our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. It's very biblical. But he's the mastermind behind all the attacks we face. But how does the devil come to you? Does he come to you with horns and a howl and a pitchfork? No. He comes at you through the world. The lies of the world. The hollow philosophies, deceptive philosophies, the false promises of the world, the thrills and pleasures of the world, the comforts, the riches, the vacations, the food and beverages of the world, anything at all, but he uses the world. For Samson, it was Delilah, right? For Peter, when he stopped eating the Lord's Supper with the Gentiles, he pulled away from them, which was sin, it was the opposition of friends. That's how he was attacked. The opposition of friends frightened him. For Judas, it was money. For Martha, it was getting the dishes done. That was how the world got in her way. How the devil used the world in her, getting the dishes done. For Noah, it was alcohol. For Moses, it was the people's rebellious hearts. For the sluggard, it's the thorns that get in the way of farming. It can be anything. The devil uses the world, but of course there's a closer ally the devil uses, your sinful nature, the flesh. He uses the world to tug at your sinful desires and pull you away from the Lord. Look, for example, at James 1, 13 through 14. Perhaps you know these words from James 1, 13 and 14. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. Finally, it's your own desire that tempts you. You can't say God made me do it. You can't even say Satan or the devil made me do it. I made me do it. My own evil desire. So Satan tempted Judas with money, but it wasn't money. It was the love of money in his heart. Moses, Satan tempted Moses with the people's rebellion. That's the world. But it wasn't so much the people's rebellion. It was his sinful impatience and uncontrolled anger that lived in his heart that led him astray. For Martha, it wasn't so much the dishes, but an inward desire for neat and tidy, being more important than sitting at the feet of Jesus. For the sluggard, it's not the thorns, it's laziness. Right? We all have something in our hearts, or more than one thing. The devil uses to entice you. He lies to you constantly to pull at your evil desires. You really need to do this, you know. You can't stop yourself, you know. It's not going to hurt anyone, so it doesn't really matter, you know. Just do it, get it over and done with, and then ask for forgiveness, and everything will be okay. And all these lies that he uses to tug at your flesh, your sinful heart. The people of God were constantly under attack. We're in mortal danger every day. There's so much in us to pray against, so much outside of us to pray against. There's the evil one to pray against for the schemes he has planned against you. The schemes he's planned against your family and your church and your neighbors. And so secondly, we must run to him for refuge. There's a warning in this prayer, a threat. We're constantly under attack. But there's also a place to run to, our Father in heaven. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There's a place to run to, as well as a promise to hold on to, deliverance. But let's first look at the place to run to. And then the third point, the promise of deliverance, standing firm, standing strong. There's a place to run to, our Father in heaven. Our strength is in God, our Heavenly Father. He is our true security. He's our real safety. In ourselves, we're weak, but in him, we're made strong. Believe that. But please notice what the security and safety are in God. It's his gift of strength. Yes, we do pray that one day we'll be set free from all the temptations and no longer have to face off with the enemies that never stop attacking us. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Take us to our eternal home where there'll be no more night. That means no more struggle with sin. Where there'll be nothing to harm us in all your holy mountain. Take us to that place, that destination, Lord. And take us to that perfect world where the dragon is thrown into the lake of fire, burning sulfur, from where he can no longer throw his flaming arrows at us. Yes, we're praying for that ultimate deliverance, but we're also praying that right here and now, while we're in the minefield, Lord, while we're walking through this place of constant assault, strengthen us to stand, to fight, to say no to sin, to lies. Strengthen us. Make us strong in the strength of your might. Jesus said, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. So how does the Lord lead us away from temptation? How does he protect us in it? How does he deliver us from Satan's attempts to devour us? Well, by giving us superhuman strength to fight, giving us his might, the strength of his spirit. We'll go back again to Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, verse 10. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God. Verse 13, take up the whole armor of God. Fasten on the belt of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Take up the shield of faith. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is weak Christians running to the Lord for refuge and support in a time of trouble. Not once, not twice, but constantly. When Ephesians says, when Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the full armor of God, this is a daily thing. This is something we pray for in every trouble, every trial, every temptation, that we clothe ourselves with strength. Just like you daily put on your clothing when you get up in the morning. There's no day. This is what's hard for us to get. There's no day when you're strong enough to stand up to today's troubles. There's no day you get up in the morning and you've got what it takes. Never. It's a lie. There's no day when you do not need to run to the rock of refuge. That's why there's so many failures and so much falling among Christians, because we do not watch and pray. We don't think that there's trouble around us. And we get casual. And we get carefree. And then we get careless. And then we fall. Running for refuge means also putting on the full armor of God, the panoply. Have you ever heard of that old English word, panoply? Oply is a Greek word for armor. Pan means all. Panoply. Put on the panoply of God. The full suit of armor, not just one piece. And that's why Paul lists the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, so that we cover every part of our life with divine strength. Not just your mind, but also your will. And your heart, and your desires, and your emotions, and your strength. Cover your beliefs, and your lifestyle, your doctrine, and your life. Just like in your own wardrobe, your own closet at home, and your clothes cupboard, right? You have clothes for school, and church, and work, and visiting, and gardening maybe. Different sets of clothing for different occasions. Clothing for everything. Well, in the same way, the Lord Jesus has put in your spiritual closet a wide variety of armor so you can put on strength in each different task for each different occasion of life. And then notice how you put on the armor of God. Each piece put on with prayer, we sing in the hymn, Stand Up for Jesus. Each piece put on with prayer. Look at 6, verse 18, Ephesians 6, verse 18. It says that we are to pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And that's a verb that comes after putting on the whole armor of God by praying. That's the point of it. By praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So it's by praying to God, give me the helmet of salvation, Lord. Protect my mind, my doctrine. Protect me from lies. And you're praying for all these armor, and that's how you put them on. And then he says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Congregation, a challenge for you and me. What particular weakness in your life do you need to guard against? Is it doubt? Is it lust? Is it jealousy? Getting angry too quickly? Gossip? Bitterness? Relying on yourself? Is it pride? Is it being scared or controlled by what others think? Peer pressure? Is it laziness? Is it taking your spouse for granted? Is it a complaining spirit? Is it being harsh? Is it worrying about money? Is it prayerlessness? Is it a fear of witnessing? Is it impatience? Is it several of these? Is it other things? Are you praying over that spot, that weak spot? Covering it with the armor of God? Clothing it with divine strength? And what particular challenge? So those are the inward problems. What particular outward problems or trials do you face right now in your life? Is it conflict with a colleague? Is it making a decision about school? Is it finding a godly spouse? Is it raising your children? Is it getting your work done? Is it being a faithful friend? Is it handling sickness? Is it keeping ahead of the bills? Cover these outside problems too with prayer. Keep running to the Lord at all times. Make supplication for all the saints. Don't pray just for yourself. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. And it's not just me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And then you begin to remember the names of brothers and sisters in Christ, family members, others who are going through specific challenge, who have specific weaknesses that they need cover for, and you pray for them as well, and you ask brothers and sisters to pray for you in your needs. Well, let's see thirdly, that by leaning on the divine strength of our God in prayer, he gives us the weak ones grace to stand firm, to stand strong. That's the promise of the Lord that is given to believers. That the weak will be strong in the evil day. He will stand in the moment of crisis. That you will do what you cannot do. You will prevail where you otherwise would fail. And God will lead you from one victory to the next. That's the promise. Why? How does God give you strength? This is how he gives you strength in temptation. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He became flesh and blood for you. He was tempted in every way we are, yet he never sinned. He was tempted in the wilderness by Satan. And he always stood his ground. He prayed to the Lord for help. The Lord sent an angel. He stood his ground. And not just those 40 days, but all the way to the cross. He stood his ground. He was faithful. He never caved to temptation. And then he died on the cross to pay for our sins and rose again for new life. And when you trust in Jesus, you get not only forgiveness, but God gives you the strength of Jesus to fight against sin and say no to temptation. It all comes from him. And in him, victory. Victory, deliverance is yours. Never stop praying against these sworn enemies, but rely on the strength of the Holy Spirit so that we might too obtain the complete victory, finally win the complete victory. That's where the strength comes from. God gives it to you through Christ, his Son. He was nailed to the cross for you and me and rose again to give us forgiveness of all our sins, all our failures, all the times we cave in, but also strength to stand firm in the evil day. That's what Hebrews 4 says. He sent us a high priest who could be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, who was tempted in every way that we are, yet was without sin. And then it says, go to him so that you might find grace and mercy to help you in your time of need. He is specifically has a ministry for those in temptation to help you stand firm. He shares his standing firm with you. That's why we run to him, to get that divine strength that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us and shares with us. We're always too weak for the moment. Always. We're always too weak for the moment, too weak for the occasion. But Jesus is always strong enough. And that really marks the life of David. If you go through the 50s in the Psalms, Psalms 51 through 59, and there are others as well, but David's always too weak for the moment, and he's always running to God, and that's where he's getting his strength for the moment. We read that in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. There's a moment, too, when the Philistines attack the place, the village, the camp where David and his men, where their families are. They kidnap the families, and they come back to camp. Their families are all gone. And David's men, his own men, are going to stone David. And he doesn't know where to turn. He has no strength. He's too weak. And then it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. That's where he found his strength, in that temptation, that trial, and that trouble. David says in Psalm 55, at evening, morning, and noon, I cry out to the Lord, and the Lord hears me. Well, brothers and sisters, the Lord in his grace truly delights in the prayers of his weak servants for strength. He never says, what? You again? You're a pathetic creature. Are you always so weak? He never says that. What? You again? No, he says, my child, you are never enough, but I am always enough for you. So keep coming to me, and I'll clothe you with divine strength that you can stand firm in the hour of trial. That's why Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong, because I'm relying on the Lord who magnifies his strength, his power in my weakness. That's what he loves to do. He loves to magnify his strength in your weakness. It glorifies him. When weak and needy sinners, for whom temptation is too much, run to the Lord, who is enough and more than enough for you and me. And so Paul was able to serve the Lord in this confidence, he says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 18. 2 Timothy 4, verse 18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.